They had this machine. They had two machines, really. One of them slid down into your stomach like a black cobra, down an echoing well, looking for all the old water and the old time gathered there. It drank up the green matter that flowed to the top in a slow boil. Did it drink of the darkness? Did it suck out all the poisons accumulated with the years? It fed in silence, with an occasional sound of inner suffocation and blind searching. It had an eye. The impersonal operator of the machine could, by wearing a special optical helmet, gaze into the soul of the person whom he was pumping out. What did the eye see? He did not say. He saw, but did not see what the eye saw. The entire operation was not unlike the digging of a trench in one's yard. The woman on the bed was no more than a hard stratum of marble they had reached. Go on anyway. Shove the board down. Slush up the emptiness, if such a thing could be brought out in the throb of the suction snake. The operator stood smoking a cigarette. The other machine was working, too. The other machine, operated by an equally impersonal fellow in non-stainable reddish-brown coveralls. This machine pumped all the blood from the body and replaced it with fresh blood and serum. "Gotta clean 'em out both ways," said the operator, standing over the silent woman. "No use getting in the stomach if you don't clean the blood. Leave that stuff in the blood, and the blood hits the brain like a mallet, bang, a couple thousand times, and the brain just gives up, just quits." "Stop it," said Montague. "I was just saying," said the operator. "Are you done?" said Montague. They shut the machines up tight. "We're done." His anger did not even touch them. They stood with the cigarette smoke curling around their noses and their eyes without making them blink or squint. "That's $50. First, why don't you tell me if she's all right?" "Sure, she'll be okay. We got all that mean stuff right in our suitcase here. It can't get at her now. As I said, you take out the old and put in the new, and you're okay." "Neither of you is an M.D. Why didn't you send an M.D. from emergency?" "Hell," the operator's cigarette moved on his lips. "We get these cases 9 or 10 a night. Got so many starting a few years ago. We had the special machines built. With the optical lens, of course. That was new. The rest is ancient. You don't need an M.D. case like this. All you need is two handymen. Clean up the problem in half an hour. Look," he started for the door. "We gotta go. Just had another call at the old ear thimble. 10 blocks from here. Someone else just jumped off the cap of a pillbox. Call if you need us again. Keep her quiet. We got a contrasedative in her. She'll wake up hungry. So long." And the men with the cigarettes in their straight-lined mouths, the men with the eyes of puff adders, took up their load of machines and tube, their case of liquid melancholy, and the slow, dark sludge of nameless stuff, and strolled out the door. Montague sank down into a chair and looked at this woman. Her eyes were closed now, gently, and he put out his hand to feel the warmness of breath on his palm. "Mildred," he said at last. "There are too many of us," he thought. "There are billions of us, and that's too many. Nobody knows anyone. Strangers come and violate you. Strangers come and cut your heart out. Strangers come and take your blood. Good God, who were those men? I never saw them before in my life." Half an hour passed. The bloodstream in this woman was new, and it seemed to have done a new thing to her. Her cheeks were very pink, and her lips were very fresh and full of color, and they looked soft and relaxed. Someone else's blood there. If only someone else's flesh and brain and memory, if only they could have taken her mind along to the dry cleaners and emptied the pockets and steamed and cleansed it and re-blocked it and brought it back in the morning. If only, if only. He got up and put back the drapes and opened the windows wide to let the night air in. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. Wasn't only an hour ago Clarice McClellan in the street and him coming in and the dark room and his foot kicking the little crystal bottle. Only an hour, but the world had melted down and sprung up in a new and colorless form. Laughter blew across the moon-colored lawn from the house of Clarice and her father and mother and the uncle who smiled so quietly and so earnestly. Above all, their laughter was relaxed and hearty and not forced in any way, coming from the house that was so brightly lit this late at night, while all the other houses were kept to themselves in darkness. Montag heard the voices talking, 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 giving, talking, weaving, reweaving their hypnotic web. Montag moved out through the French windows and crossed the lawn. Without even thinking of it, he stood outside the talking house in the shadows, thinking he might even tap on the door and whisper, "Let me come in. I won't say anything. I just want to listen. What is it you're saying?" But instead he stood there, very cold, his face a mask of ice, listening to a man's voice, the uncle, moving along at an easy pace. "Well, after all, this is the age of the disposable tissue. Blow your nose on a person, wad them, flush them away, reach for another, blow, wad, flush. Everyone using everyone else's coattails. How are you supposed to root for the home team when you don't even have a program or know the names? For that matter, what colored jerseys are they wearing as they trot out on the field?" Montag moved back to his own house, left the window wide, checked Mildred, tucked the covers over her carefully, and then lay down with the moonlight on his cheekbones and on the frowning ridges in his brow, with the moonlight distilled in each eye to form a silver cataract there. One drop of rain, Clarice. Another drop, Mildred. A third, the uncle. A fourth, the fire tonight. One, Clarice. Two, Mildred. Three, uncle. Four, fire. One, Mildred. Two, Clarice. One, two, three, four, five. Clarice, Mildred, uncle, fire, sleeping tablets, men, disposable tissue, coattails, blow, wad, flush. Clarice, Mildred, uncle, fire, tablets, tissues, blow, wad, flush. One, two, three, one, two, three, rain. The storm, the uncle laughing, thunder falling downstairs, the whole world pouring down, the fire gushing up in a volcano, all rushing on down, around in a spouting roar and rivering stream toward morning. "I don't know anything anymore," he said, and let his sleep lozenge dissolve on his tongue.